What's happening? Hour number two, J Mart and Ramon off and running here. 104.5 The Zone. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Stores. 11-year veteran of Ball for Life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer, Jason Martin. Boys with you until 10 a.m. on Twitter at J Mart and Ramon. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at J Mart Radio. A lot of Titans there, and certainly Monday Night Football as the Raiders in overtime come back and beat Baltimore last night. Lamar, he had 250 yards. Carr had 430.
Boy, balled last night.
Yeah.
He also attempted like 900 passes.
Yeah, 58 passes, goodness.
It was kind of a Dak Prescott-ish performance, except they won the game. And that's not me throwing shade at Dak. It's the Cowboys.
Which they were close enough to win that game, too. They just gave Tommy Boy way too much time to, you know, soften that blow right there.
I just remember the Ravens go up 14-0. I'm going, all right, they got this on lock. They're going to win this. I wake up this morning. What?
What?
I was all.
What happened?
Yeah, that's the drop I was looking for.
Top observation, top ob this hour. Todd Apple watching on YouTube says, hoping we see a team peed off for greatness like we did in the Buffalo game last year. Their response this week will tell us what kind of team they are. Yep. Again, you cannot go to Seattle and get boat raced. I shudder to think of the conversations you have next week. Are you going to say it's only two games if you get blown out? Like to the caller's point, a loss is a loss.
Yeah.
But if you go there and fight and you're on the road out there and you look different, there will be a different narrative next week than there is right now.
I'll push back against that one. No, I'm with you. I understand it. But this is a team that had free agency. This is a team that has the same coaching staff. They elevated two coaches who were inside the organization. Same GM. Most of the starters back on offense. Better, we think, talent on defense. It can't just look better. This ain't UT.
Well, what I'm saying is if you go lose 35-31 on the road out there, it's still 0-2, but the fans are going to feel a lot different about it than they do right now.
Whether
or not you think that's accurate or not, in terms of they should, I think they will. I think our calls would sound a lot different. If you go out in 38-13 that thing, Monday, the phones might actually just ignite.
Now, the team ain't complete. The team's got to work. You want the roller coaster going up. You don't want the up and down. Well, no, you want the airplane. You don't want the roller coaster going up and down. But if we're trying to compare this team as far as the overall raw talent, what they're supposed to be, the power rankings got you here, here, and here. Well, they're going against what we think is the best conference. And that conference has stood tall, the division. That's the NFC West. They can't go over against these two teams to start the season off and then come back home to go against the Colts.
They can't, but I guess the other thing is at least it's NFC teams. And they're not ones that generally factor into tie-break scenarios for the playoffs.
But overall wins will come into place when we look at the muddy.
Agreed. No, I'm with you. They should win. I'm just saying the response from the fans is going to be a lot more positive if they look different than they looked on Sunday. Whether or not that's right is a different discussion to have. I don't believe very much in moral victories when you get in the NFL.
Heck no. I was listening to somebody this morning, Matt, man. We were talking about it earlier. It was like, man, ain't no sympathy for millionaires. Like, dog, we pay you to have a really good performance, and that's all we're looking forward to right now. And we spoke about this off air a little bit. I know we got a couple calls, but there's been way too much support and hype this offseason, Jay, to start off slow. Now, I know when it comes October, November, December, we're going to be hype about it, and, like, if they're on a run, and we'll, you know, these will just be a start. But in the moment,
I feel like, look, this is if it goes really south for this team, it's going to feel like the Browns 2 years ago.
There we go.
Because they went and brought in Odell.
There we go.
They had some coaching turnover. Of course, they had Freddie Kitchens, who they never should have given that job to.
Yeah.
Their quarterback situation, I mean, I like Tannehill more than I like Baker Mayfield. But, I mean, you had a young stud at running back. You had a lot of talent, but you had a lot of volatility. You had a lot of turnover, and you had a lot of hype, and they didn't live up to it.
A big, I guess, something we need to keep our eye on this week, too. And honestly, Todd Apple brought this up on Zone TV. If y'all aren't watching, go check us out on YouTube, Twitch. What is it? Twitter TV now. But he made a point. It was like, not expecting to win, but overall should expect a better performance. Nah, I say this against Seattle, though. They got a new OC also.
Mm-hmm. Who's better than the one they had? Because Schottenheimer's been terrible for a long time and is known to be terrible for a long time.
This is also a measuring stick to see what Todd Downing does against that new OC.
Okay, I told you what the Fox people told me in L.A. I told you that yesterday. Yeah. They said Downing was terrible out there because there are a lot of Raiders fans that work for Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And they, to a man, were like, that was not a good decision by your organization.
You got 16 more to kind of prove that wrong.
They do.
We going to see.
That's right. Cousin Andrew in Portland. Andrew, what's up?
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, good morning, fellas. So I got a couple of quick things here. First of all, I don't know if I actually got your approved tallywhacker for when you're wrong. I called the Bulls and Titans to win. Lost both. Fantasy World, congratulations to whoever Team Harvey is and Team Mitchell. And last and certainly least, congratulations to Jason Bumpus, Cicada Bulls.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Kicking my butt.
Yeah, hey man, I think you might have. Hey, wait a second, Andrew. I think you might have had a better chance had you not called me out.
That's what happens. I typically put my foot in my mouth. So, you know, this week I'm going to take my foot out and not necessarily call folks out. on to the important stuff. I watched the game after knowing the outcome because I had more important things like soccer for the son to watch. So family first, you know.
But
look. I'm not as concerned as a lot of people are, and here's why. If you think about all the new pieces that we have, and in the offseason we talked about them not getting time together during practice, during preseason, there's a lot of new pieces. And I went back and watched with no emotion. And, yeah, there was a lot of plays left on that football field. I'm concerned with two big factors. The offensive line. Taylor Lewan, I'm sorry, I've never blamed one person for a loss, but that 17-0 hole was all on him because every single negative play came from his side of the line. Secondly, I'm really concerned with the offensive coordinator. I think that we saw what Arthur Smith meant to this team, and I think that we know what Downing is, like Jason has been saying. I really hope he's changed because that's a big problem in my eyes. The defense looks good. I mean, look, you're facing Kyler Murray, who is a freaking magician, and you've got D-Hop out there making plays like he always does. I'm not concerned with the defense. Bud Dupree looked fresh, looked good. He was in the backfield all the time. So, I'm not going to overreact. I think we'll be fine, but I think it's going to take some time to gel. Let's hit it hard in November, December, and let's get string together some W's. And lastly, to y'all's question of is it Vrabel or is it J-Rob, let's just ask it like this. How many people in the past 2 years that J-Rob has brought into this organization is on the field today? I'll leave you with that.
I know the answer. Uh-oh. Yeah, I know the answer to that question.
You just going to choose a little violence, huh?
A lot of violence. We're going to go to Paxton before we get to break. Josh Ward, we'll talk Vols and SEC when we get back. Pax, what's up?
What's up, Pax? Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good morning. Got a couple things real quick. So, first of all, until the Ravens do right by us, and apologize for stepping on our logo, this is what's going to continue to happen, guys. I mean, we've seen everything that they've had going on. We never wish injury on anybody, but injuries happen. And it's happening quite often to that football team. I'm just saying, stopping our logo, the whole terrible towel thing we did, this is what the after effect of that is. So we'll be expecting a formal apology from the Ravens organization, and then we'll uplift that curse off of them so then they can play football, right? Next thing, I want to get into the Titans, man. I agree with the last caller. Todd Downing has been really given the keys to a Ferrari, but the question is, can he drive a stick shift? And that's the issue, man. It looks good in driveway, man, but can you drive that vehicle, man? So he's going to have to really step it up and show this, you know, show this organization, show the fans, man, that he's ready for this opportunity, guys. And it makes me nervous to watch that because, man, this is our window. And, you know, we're either going to win the Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years or it's going to be a rebuild. I mean, Derrick Henry is getting older. You know, Julio's up in his age. I mean, what can we do here? That's my thing. So hopefully Todd Downing gets it together. We go up to Seattle. It'd be the most Titan thing ever to go up there and just beat the crap out of Seattle.
Yep.
And I think the fans would be kind of back where they belong, is, you know, in their crazy minds, guys.
Yeah.
I hang up and listen, man. Thanks.
Yeah. Look, that last point, I'm certainly looking at the Seattle game like the Tennessee Titans that I've seen, now that everybody is down on them all week, this definitely is the time where you don't want to count them out. This is the time when they often do exactly what Paxton just suggested. It's a real good football team you're going to play, though. When we come back, a real good longtime reporter and radio host, Josh Ward from WNML. We'll talk Vols. We'll talk Joe Milton.
We'll talk SEC. You laughed when you said that.
We'll be right back. It's Jay Martin, your mom, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. It's Tuesday. You know what that means?
Tell us.
Doesn't mean second Monday, Moan.
Ah.
It means UT Ticket Tuesday. Every Tuesday before a Tennessee home game, a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Vols at Neyland Stadium. Caller number 5 right now, 615-737-1045, wins a pair of tickets to Tennessee, Tennessee Tech this Saturday. 615-737-1045. Just make sure you can actually make the trip. Don't win the tickets to sit at home. Caller number 5, go see the Vols at Neyland against Tennessee Tech this Saturday. Caller number 5, 615-737-1045. Those tickets can be yours. We welcome in on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline our guest Josh Ward from WNML Sports Animal. Josh, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning. So, well, we could just ask you Tennessee-ish questions and ask you about the Manning cast last night, but we'll start with actual Tennessee talk. I guess the story, I didn't get to hear your show yesterday, but I imagine Joe Milton was a topic yesterday.
Quarterback play came up. Yep. And fans, as you might be surprised to find out, I'm sure you've gathered yourselves, a little bit split with different opinions on the quarterbacks, which is new in Knoxville.
So tell me what your opinion was, and then tell me what the prevailing opinions were or the differing opinions that you were getting on the airwaves.
Well, right now it's difficult to find really any kind of support for Joe Milton, maybe a little bit because of the tool set and backing the coaches, whatever they do. But most of the opinion I'm finding is, hey, it's not working out with Joe Milton. He's not connecting on these deep passes. Hendon Hooker gave Tennessee a better chance on Saturday. I'm sharing opinions that were passed along to us. There was a lot of that, and there was a lot of, why isn't Harrison Bailey getting a shot? We were getting that call last week, and we got it Saturday, and we're getting it to begin the week. And I don't see that as being something that the coaching staff is considering, unless there's an injury reason to give Harrison Bailey a shot. I think right now it's what do they do with Hooker or Joe Milton, assuming health. And really the conversation is about next week. The Tennessee Tech game doesn't matter in terms of trying to figure out the personnel. They're going to win this week, and they're going to win by a ton, but they're getting ready for Florida next week. They're getting ready for SEC play. So there are split opinions, but there are a lot of Harrison Bailey supporters. There are a lot of people saying, hey, Hendon Hooker showed some good things. You get him more practice time as the guy. He can do well. Not a lot of Joe Milton support after the missed deep passes on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you fix that, Josh. I mean, look, if he hits in the first quarter, they score three more touchdowns. Yeah. That game's probably out of reach before Pickett has, you know, the game that he ends up having and the way that he plays. The defense gives you a real shot, and you just keep blowing opportunities. And I don't know the answer to that, Josh. Like, I've seen some guys fix accuracy issues, but this dogged him at Michigan too. I mean, we have Michigan people all through the Twitter feed saying, see, now you understand. This is what we had to deal with last year.
I have friends who pull for Michigan who texted me during the game on Saturday. I told you so months ago about what was coming with Joe Milton. And that may be right. That may absolutely be right. Number one, I don't know what fixes that either. That is exactly what Josh Heupel was hired to do, was to fix the quarterback position and fix the offense. I do have to believe this. They've connected in practice. That's worked in practice. Coaches are not going to continue to call similar setups that they haven't seen work somewhere else. So there's some kind of disconnect from the practice field to what's happening in games. I think another frustration for fans is that fans probably feel like they heard that the last few years, that in practice, Jarrett Garantano gave them the best chance. And then on Saturdays, that didn't really show up. Although I would argue at times it still did. They just had an overall quarterback problem. You have Hendon Hooker, who I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's had some success at Virginia Tech. I think that's something that some fans are leaning on. And then with Harrison Bailey, a lot of it's the unknown. Yet you haven't seen him not succeed yet, so why not give him a shot? He was highly touted coming in. One defense for Joe Milton is that it's not like he's been at Tennessee for a long time. He didn't come in the spring. He came in the summer, got some summer work in, and then practiced in the month of August. Leading up to the start, so much of what I heard from Tennessee fans was, hey, he wasn't getting good enough coaching at Michigan. Now he has a real quarterback's coach, an offensive coach. That's going to get fixed. Well, it doesn't always happen immediately. But if you go back to Joe Milton and you continue to have the issues and the offense has the offense shoots itself in the foot and then you keep losing games, well, then fans are going to be really frustrated with that. So to me, I come back to whatever you do, you need to figure out how to win games. Probably not at Florida. If you do that, then that changes the whole conversation. But Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, these games against teams that are similar to Pitt that we talked about all offseason long, they need to win some of those games because effort was there, opportunities were there. But if you don't have the W to go with it, then yeah, I think patience will run thin for fans.
So this past week, what does this loss to Pitt actually do? And I know I have my feelings about it. Like, well, look, they stayed in it. What is the actual like response to the way they lost and just losing to Pitt in general?
Yeah, the most positive reaction that I've seen from inside the building there at UT and from Tennessee fans to begin the week is, hey, the effort was great, which I think we should expect, but it was there, so you have some confirmation. And Tennessee still had opportunities. Tennessee still could have won the game despite the issues early on in the game that we're talking about, injuries to key personnel that should have affected Tennessee, but other guys stepped up in some ways. They have a lot to work on, and the expectations are not to compete at the highest level in the SEC. So we come back to the other games that I just mentioned a moment ago. So all the things that you want to happen ahead of time, the work ethic, the buy-in from the players, coaches appearing to be dialing things up on the field offensively. I think fans came out of it and said, hey, we still put points on the board. We could have had more. So this coaching staff knows what it's doing from an offensive standpoint. You're going to face SEC defenses, and they're going to have a chance to see what Tennessee's tried on film. And I partly wonder, did Pitt come out there and say, hey, we're going to challenge you, give you a chance to throw deep. Let's see if you can get it done. Almost calling Tennessee's bluff, and we got the result. But they have to figure out the quarterback position. Having Cooper Mays come back from injury, yeah, I think that would help with what they're doing there on the interior of the offensive line, communication. So there are still a lot of opportunities, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to get a better idea. Have they fixed some of the issues or the penalties? If they keep showing up and you see sloppy mistakes by Tennessee, they'll probably get similar results to what we saw on Saturday.
That was one of the most confusing things about this game, I thought, was the amount of penalties that they have. I just didn't think Heupel had a team like this. In the first week, it wasn't, you know, this type of situation as far as penalties. They did a lot to pull themselves out of that game. This week's adjustment to Tennessee Tech, what do you expect to see from this team going out on the field Saturday?
Well, I would expect or like to see cleaner football, not having the same mistakes, and you don't go in with the same kind of pressure, right? So right. I think that should be an assumption that Tennessee cleaned some of that up. And I think you'd like to see Tennessee come out and play two good quarters of football before halftime, because for whatever reason, quarter number two in both games against Bowling Green and then against Pitt has not gone well. So I would want to see limited mental mistakes. I would want to see on the offensive side, you pretty much do what you want to and then completely control the line of scrimmage. I think Tennessee's continuing to try to work on its pass rush. Getting Byron Young back this week, yep, should help. We haven't seen him yet in a game with Tennessee, but everything that we've heard has been really positive, and he could help make an impact coming back with what Tennessee is trying to do to create pressure and create takeaways. That's another probably frustrating point for Josh Heupel and then Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, is Tennessee's not taking the ball away and Tennessee's giving the ball up on offense. And mm-hmm. We talk about margin of error, and it's simple no matter which team we're talking about. You lose turnover battles, you're more likely to lose the game, and that showed up on Saturday.
Josh Ward, WNML, our guest here on J. Martin Ramon.
That's another part, though. I will say, aside from that point, I'm actually a little bit more surprised by the defense. They've kind of, being as depleted as they are, held their own. Is that how you view it?
Yeah, I would describe it that way. You want to talk about effort. And again, effort should kind of be expected. Like, you don't want to get over the top commending players for trying hard.
Right.
But I think the effort and the energy is paying off and being able to make some plays, get stops at times. I think having veteran leadership up front, that's helped. I think last week I mentioned, or in the last couple weeks I mentioned, but Matthew Butler came on my show in Knoxville the week before the game, and he said, I can't wait to show people how hard we've worked, how it's going to pay off for us, especially up front on the defensive line. And I think we've seen signs of that. That would come back to the buy-in that we heard about and the connection that the coaching staff. You have a veteran like Rodney Garner, that helps. On the back end, you have somebody like Willie Martinez. He and Tim Banks have to have had a positive impact on somebody like Theo Jackson, who has really emerged, I think, so far in the first couple of games. So there are a number of positives. They're not great there. They're not elite from a personnel standpoint. But I think they're doing their best to get the most out of what they have on that defensive side. There are going to be opportunities for opposing offenses to take advantage. You know, games against like Alabama and Ole Miss, Florida, maybe we'll find out in a couple of weeks, who could be great offensively. You know, they're just going to create problems for Tennessee, but they will against everybody. Mm-hmm. In these other games, I think there will be chances where if Tennessee can continue to progress up front, you win up front on defense, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of battles.
Josh, it's hard to actually see this, but it did seem to leap off the screen to me on Saturday. Last year, it didn't look like those guys wanted to be out there. It looked like a lot of dudes wearing Tennessee uniforms were going through the motions. They didn't have it. They didn't care for the coach. Everything was in turmoil. I did see a difference in the effort and how hard those guys appeared to play on Saturday. Did you notice the same thing?
Yeah, it was there. I think even the fan mindset, because fans have experienced so much, and we know at this point Tennessee doesn't end up winning the game against Pitt. But I think in the middle part of that, with the injuries and with Pitt rallying and then taking a lead, and they have a 2-score lead, I think some of the fans' mindset was, okay, here we go again, and this is going to be ugly. And then it came down to the end, and Tennessee fell short. But that, I think, comes back to one of the positives of the offense still gives you a chance. So we can talk about effort. We can also just talk about, you know, what's realistically going to happen. You know, that Kentucky game last year, you'd feel it in the middle of the game. Fans could feel it. The players could probably feel it. Not coming back. Offense isn't going to be able to get it done. There were several of those games where it either didn't have a chance to come back, or you could really feel that it was slipping away. With what happened in the Auburn game last year, the second half against Arkansas, that was not the case on Saturday. The fight was there, but the opportunity to move the ball and put points on the board. And we're seeing some guys emerge. Like, you know, I think Jacob Warren, he's a guy that when he arrived at Tennessee, we thought it's going to take some time for him to develop as a player, but could be an athletic option at the tight end position to help in the passing game. That showed up on Saturday. So they still have a lot to get cleaned up and figured out. And we're probably going to see a bunch of these games, I think, where it could go one way or the other. Yeah. And that's why I think coming back to limiting mistakes, penalties, turnover battle, they're cliche things that you write up on a board, but you write them up there for a reason, because they ultimately determine games. But effort, opportunity, the ability to move the ball and score and come back if you have to, that exists for Tennessee, and it didn't most of the year last year.
One highlight, one low light. Tyler Barron, highlight of this defense.
Yeah.
It seems to be out of nowhere. Glad to see that, because he's a Tennessee kid. Also, low light, drops from the wide receivers. Where is this coming from? Is it touch from the quarterback or what?
Yeah, it's probably a mix. I would say with the wide receiver position, positive would be there were opportunities where they got open. But yeah, at times, game one and number two, they didn't hold on to the football. So you know, maybe we're making assumptions that they still would have hauled in those passes that Joe Milton missed on, right? So
yeah.
I'm still going to give the benefit of the doubt that we're talking about a bunch of guys that haven't played that much. Like, I'm going to bet on Jalin Hyatt still being a good player.
Okay.
Jimmy Callaway, his catch and run ability, make him miss. Yeah, that's a positive. But, yeah, you got to haul him in. But we're talking about a group that has a lot of potential, not a lot of experience, not a lot of proven play. But I think the talent is there, not Alabama four deep first round pick talent at wide receiver, but good enough talent if you have a good enough scheme, which I think Tennessee does. And I totally agree on Tyler Barron. That's why Byron Young coming back, I think, should be really important for Tennessee, because if he's as good as they believe he will be, now you have a couple of guys that opposing offenses are going to have to pay attention to when they're out there on the field, and that just gives you more opportunity. But Barron's a second-year guy who came in highly touted last year, and I think he's going to live up to it, and Byron Young can help add some pass rush, which this defense needs. If you do that, better chance to create pressure, better chance to take the ball away, better chance to do what you need to on the defensive side.
With no disrespect intended to Tennessee Tech, pull out a crystal ball and tell me who you think the starting quarterback is against Florida for Tennessee.
It's a great question because I think that's something the staff may still be asking. But right now, I lean Hendon Hooker. I'm not out on Joe Milton. I don't see Harrison Bailey getting an opportunity right now, so I don't really factor him into the conversation. I think it's a Hooker versus Milton.
What's the
battle.
Issue, Josh? What is the issue there?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we talked a lot about Harrison Bailey before he arrived, and then we got to see him very little last year. Like, what's the disconnect between what people were hoping to see from Harrison Bailey and just really, it's like he's just not part of these discussions.
He isn't. I think a couple of concerns they have, needing to be more accurate, which I know fans are immediately going to say, did you see the accuracy issues for Milton down the
field? Right.
I totally get it. Totally get it. But I think that's a concern, how quickly he's processing everything. Sometimes I think in practice they're seeing accurate throws and plays that he can make, and then they're seeing mistakes that will slow the offense down. So I think that also, I don't think that they have to have a running quarterback in this offense. I think in the offense this year, I think they are valuing mobility because I think the staff looks at the ability to run from the quarterback position as being really important for what they're trying to do, as they're still trying to develop the offensive line. And that's not something that Harrison Bailey offers. They, you know, they also kind of need some insurance. I mean, they were down to two scholarship quarterbacks. So if they have any concern about the offensive line and Bailey potentially getting hurt back there without the ability to get out, well, then you're running the risk of not having many quarterbacks available. So I don't know if that's something they're considering, but having him more as an insurance option as opposed to being the guy. But yeah, you know, right now, again, things can always change. They already have in some ways, but I think it's a Milton Hooker conversation at quarterback.
To talk about, you know, just outside perspective of what Tennessee looks like from PFF College, I didn't realize how big of a deal that was.
But
they have Matt Butler as the second highest rated interior defensive lineman. Shocked by that development, Coach Gardner, where are we attributing that from, aside from his own personal talents?
Yeah, I think he has kind of that play angry attitude on the field. His work ethic is not questioned at all. This is a good dude that you can trust to help lead. And yeah, I think kind of just ticked off with how things went the last couple of years, and was excited to be coached by Ronnie Gardner. And there's definitely a Gardner effect. I don't think there's any doubt there. He said there was. And I just think having that veteran leadership, he's one of those super seniors that came back mm-hmm. for one more opportunity. And he's a legitimately good player, I think. So that's a reason to be encouraged that if they continue to get guys to move forward up front, from a number standpoint, I think they have a good amount of guys that they believe they can play up front, and that's kind of a change of pace from where they've been at different times the last few years. So as the season goes along, that's why I'm still bullish on what they can do up front, because I think players can still get better, and I think they're going to have the bodies. You knock on wood, you never know if injuries can start to pile up, but right now they're in a pretty good position from a depth standpoint. Not one elite guy, the numbers say Matthew Butler is, but he's for sure to me a bright spot early on in the season. A few of those guys up front are.
Josh, we appreciate it, brother. You're the best.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Josh Ward. Josh_Ward. WNML Sports Am. When we come back, Moan, I want to shift gears. I want to talk about the Vols with you. I'm not going to tell you where we're going, but I want to ask you a question that I'm really curious to hear your answer to.
Gotcha.
We'll do that when we come back. Jay Martin and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Jay Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back in. Thanks to Josh Ward for joining us from the Sports Animal. You missed that conversation podcast. This is wherever you get your podcast. Jay Mart and Ramon, you can catch up on every single show we've done now over a year. This past Thursday was our one-year anniversary, but the archive goes all the way back to day one.
Yeah,
so you can go back and relive all your favorite moments. All the times that Ramon didn't know birthdays, which we didn't do yesterday. We're not going to do those on Mondays probably, as long as there's a lot of Titans reaction coming through during the season.
It's hot.
But we'll see. We're definitely getting back to it today, though. All right, I said I wasn't going to tell you what we were going to talk about because I really just want your raw reaction to this.
Sorry, what you got going on?
Paris Harrelson.
Who?
37.
Yeah.
Passed away. San Francisco, the 49ers actually announced it. He was with the Saints at one point. He was with the Niners, of course, of all. Mm-hmm. He's 37, Mo. I know how old you are.
Yeah.
So I know you knew Paris.
Yeah.
I saw you and Swain and a couple of other people talking about it. I don't know very much about Paris Harrelson. There's no cause of death mentioned, anything like that. That's not the issue. I just want you to tell me about Paris Harrelson, and I just want to back away and listen.
From Man, that I'll be honest, it's been few deaths that's happened as of late because since my mom passed, like it's a lot of things I see death is I accept it for what it is. But seeing Paris as young as he was, the effect he had on me, he's one of those dudes that's not Al Wilson, not Peyton Manning, not Reggie White, but his importance to the guys in his era is just over the top. Words can't really express. When I saw that, it bothered me, and it still kind of does. Like, I went to bed last night, all the group chats that I'm in with the guys, told them I love y'all. Like, group, like all my brothers, like all that. Like, man, I love y'all because I didn't expect Paris. Like, his importance to me as a young guy coming from a small town in West Tennessee, him being from Mississippi, just being an OG type of dude that wasn't above people. He was a guy that worked hard. He kicked your butt and still, hey, you're going to be all right. Him and Justin Herold and Turk McBride were some of the first dudes to tell me, hey, Foster, you got an opportunity. You can play. You're going to be all right. That day when Coach Fulmer made me run around the field that day, Paris was like, dang, Foster, how many you got? And then I had to tell him, he just told me, I ain't never heard him say, like, Paris was the guy that brought that up to me because he was concerned, like, what you do, Foster? And he was a guy that drove his simple white Ford Ranger truck. Just, you want to talk about important and impact. I've brought him up on this show. Anytime I'm talking about UT, he's a guy that I always bring up because he had a very influential impact on me, a young guy who didn't know anything. And you see the response of the people that bring him up. One is shocked. And I know the reason he passed. Now I want to put that out there. It wasn't anything crazy. It was in his sleep, just out of nowhere. Healthy guy. I don't think it was any kind of COVID-based type of thing. And to see that, we are huge from day one on this show. Give people their flowers. Tell people you love them. Stop with the macho stuff like, hey, man, it's cool to tell your homie, man, I'm just calling to check on you. Love you, man. Hope the family's doing well. I did Inky like that yesterday before this news broke. That one hit me hard. It's been deaths that's happened around me, seeing as many people that died last year. But to see Paris, like, you want to talk about important to that era of 2002 to even after I was gone from UT when he came back or when he left from UT and came back. This one hurts. Like, I ain't going to lie to you. Seeing his age, 37, no wife, no kids, though, too. He was fine. I think he had a very serious girlfriend from what one of my buddies told me. But you don't expect this. Time is short. The foolishness of back and forth of, like, people saying dumb, idiotic stuff. Live. Tell your people you love them. Like, I ain't going to lie. That one.
I kind of figured.
All yesterday evening, Jay, when I saw it, I'm like, no. Like, that was my dude. Like,
not just you. Alden Smith said he was a good mentor.
Hey,
taught me a lot. Cam Jordan said Paris a true pro,
dog.
And a teammate that became a friend. At 37, charismatic, high energy, wise on and off the field. The gems he dropped while being my teammate. The advice he gave off the field, I'll always value. Damn, RIP P-Town.
You see what I'm saying? I've seen that, and I it was to the point to where, and I know we're coming up on the break, but like it was even to the point where I didn't even really want to post it because I'm like, I don't want to highlight, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to use him for likes. Like, I just need people to know, like, that dude was important. Like, again, in the world of UT from 02 to even at the end of my era, 2008, Paris helped set a standard there. He's a great human being.
Just Saints said Harrelson possessed an unforgettable smile.
Yep.
Upbeat attitude, was deeply respected by teammates and the coaching staff alike for his combination of dependability, leadership, and professionalism. The organization's thoughts and prayers go out to the family.
That one derailed my evening yesterday. I will not lie. Paris Harrelson, you are a great human being and you will be missed. God, I wish I could have. It's one of those situations I wish I could have been around Paris more. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, hit your people up, man. That's all I tell you guys. Forget a beef. Hit your people up.
118 career games, 88 starts, 275 tackles, 28 sacks, 5 passes defended, 3 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recovered, 63 quarterback hits, 48 tackles for loss. I'll give you this quote as we go into the break. They make it easy. It's a great locker room. It's a great coaching staff. Like I said, I really enjoyed my time there. Last year, I enjoyed it there a lot, and they make it easy. When you go in a locker room full of guys, everybody has the same goal to win games and try to win that ultimate goal to win a championship. It makes it easy. When everybody is on the same page, it makes football fun. That was Harrelson telling New Orleans media why he returned to the Saints. Mm-hmm. He was 37 years old, and as you just heard, he will be missed. Third hour of the show is next here on 104.5 The Zone.